quite a storm out there. But you know, it's, sometimes it's good for us to see God's power, you know, to see how what God can do in an instant. I'm always impressed with that, even if it is to wipe out a bunch of stuff. But it is amazing what God can send. So, our text today is 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, 7 and 8. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding. Well, I need my glasses after all. Sometimes I can see. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to get together here today. I thank you for safety during that storm, Lord. We had a lot of damage out there, but yet most of the people were okay, as far as I've heard. And Lord, we just pray for anybody that might have been hurt through that, and pray for all the workers that are out there, Lord. A lot of people cutting trees and power lines and things, Lord. We pray that you would give them safety too, for helping us out. And we pray now, Lord, that we would get something good from your word, Lord. We just would appreciate something new from your word, and just something that we can take home and understand a little better. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is, you know, as you know, of course, tomorrow is the 4th of July. You know, we've been going like crazy to get everything ready out at our property for our family picnic and all that. You know, but it's the day that we celebrate our independence from Britain. But more or less, I'm going to take this message in a little bit different direction, all right? I really don't care for that word in one sense, the independence. You know, independent, you know, I'm independent. I can take care of myself, you know. The independent part isn't always necessarily good. You know, as an individual, I sure want to be dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be independent. You know, and us as a country, we struggled and fought for this independence from Britain, and yet isn't it strange? It seems like we're doing all the same things that they did. You know, we follow whatever they do, we do it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. You know, but this is, you know, I don't celebrate, you know, Christmas. I don't celebrate many other, the Easter and all those. This is a good holiday, I think. This is a good time to, but it needs to be brought in and reeled in a little bit and reflected on properly. So I want us to remember those that have made and kept that freedom that we have possible. You know, and this may be, I think Angel said this is kind of like my Memorial Day message. You know, it's kind of like a Memorial Day message, or it could even be a Veterans Day message, you know, or a 4th of July Day message, or whatever, you know, so it's kind of a catch-all. But we should probably just be calling this Freedom Day. It's freedom that we have. And we are free to choose the jobs we want. We are free to choose the religion that we want to believe in. But we need to understand how that freedom was bought. There's a song, "Blood Bought My Freedom." Land of the free, sweet home of liberty, it came at such a great cost. Our soldiers, brave and true, gave their lives for me and you. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. Blood bought my freedom. Someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price for supreme sacrifice. Someone died that we might be free. Now, I'm not going to sing that for you, all right? But it's a really good song. Kayla, the girls could probably sing it and have it be pretty good. But That's the first part of that message, and I'm going to work on that a little bit, and then we'll go over the second part of that. Blood bought my freedom. So today is a good day for us to honor those who have died in battle to ensure the freedom that we celebrate as Americans. Many of you are going to have the family reunions or get-togethers or whatever, and that's good, that's okay. But very little thought will really go into, why we're celebrating. What are we doing? Very little thought goes into most holidays. It's usually just a party or drinking or, all the stores. Hey, it's a Memorial Day sale. It's a 4th of July sale. It's a sale. See how much money we can get out of your pocket. I don't care what the holiday is. Just get me your money. And there's, all kinds of those sales going on. Nothing to do with the 4th of July, about the Independence Day. But they just want to keep you coming back. So I want to reflect on the people that have sacrificed so much, and maybe even sacrificed with their life. I'm going to kind of just go over a few people here. And one of them, you guys didn't meet him, but you know his wife, Aunt Pauline's husband. Aunt Pauline that used to live with us, her husband, Uncle Bob. My Uncle Bob was one of these people that if he was alive today, you ought to go up to him and say, thank you. Thank you for that freedom that we still have today. He fought in the war, and he was a pilot, and there's actually a book about him. It's called Dad's Story. His daughter wrote this book and put it together, and I've seen the actual, telegrams, that my grandmother received. Sorry to say, your son is missing. Period. Nothing else. He's missing. And then, later on, different things about him. Well, this is a kind of a chronological thing about, what he did, how he started out. At 19 years of age, he went into the war. He started the war, or joined the service at 19 years of age. There's a picture of him, my dad and my uncle in here, all dressed up in different things. My dad was in the Army Air Force, but he didn't go overseas or anything. But Uncle Bob, he ended up, he was in a fighter plane. They got shot down over Austria somewhere. And I forget if it was Austria, or I read the thing, but I forget, or Germany, but he was taken prisoner of war. And he spent 14 months as a POW over there. One of the passages here, I was just briefing over this today. It tells about how he got shot down and all these different things. Oh, I think it was 32. And just amazing what they did. And this again, he was in, Stalag Luft 3, in the camp number, and it was in Germany at that time. So this is just talking about their basic diet was potatoes, cabbage, turnips, and bread. In 14 months, they never saw apples, oranges, pears, plums, cherries, bananas, berries, corn, or eggs, except in their heads. For 14 months, none of this other kind of food. It was always potatoes, cabbage, turnips, and bread. When they got cabbage soup, fondly called oak leaf stew, they also got a little extra protein. The soup was generously laced with bugs and worms. Many of the men would sort them out, but Peterson just ate them, preferring not to look. You say, well, that's just a minor sacrifice. Well, no, that's a pretty big sacrifice, being taken a prisoner of war for 14 months. And, this is just one person. This is just one person. And actually this, another guy that my uncle met, is in this picture with my uncle. And unfortunately, he was Uncle Sweet. He lived just down on Route 41 here, that little tiny blue house over there on 41 down by the well company. Actually, Uncle Bob used to live there too. But when my Uncle Swede, who became Uncle Swede to us after he met Uncle Bob in the war and whatever, he just became a lifelong friend, he was in a bar in Minnesota somewhere, I think it was, and some guy got talking about who rescued them at that bridge. And the guy says, yeah, I was with the 104th Division. And it's like, Swede looks up at him and like, 104th met us. This guy pulls this picture out of his wallet, and it's this picture. These guys were captives for 14 months and then made to march for days and days and days. Very little food. I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, so skinny, just so emancipated, I guess they call that. Whatever, emancipation without proclamation? No. Anyway, just, you know, wore out. And he did that for us today. He did that for, you know, just because it was to serve, all right? The next one I want to mention is Clarence Boersma. You guys know Betsy and Uncle Toad, Betsy Boersma and Toad Boersma. Toad Boersma is a good friend of mine, but his dad, Clarence Boersma, young kid, goes into the service. Had good jobs before that, but he goes into the service. He was over in Iwo Jima, I think it's called. And Tara, somebody else help me on that one. Tarawa. Anyway, over there. And, you know, he was telling me some of the war stories. He ended up becoming blind because of it. And he was telling me some of the horror stories while they were coming up. And, you know, you see this movie, Private Ryan. I think it's got a lot of terrible language in it. But that movie probably explained it pretty well. But they would come up in these huge boats, these boats where the ramps would flap down, and they would run up onto the beach. And Clarence Boersma was telling me, yeah, right. They were about 100 yards out, and those boats didn't like getting shot at any more than I would like getting shot at. They parked it there and threw it in reverse. And it's like, get off, guys. He gets off that boat, down to the bottom, 30 foot down. And then he's like, okay, you know, bob up, get some air. Now what do I do? Do I drop my rifle? Or might I need that later? So he finally figured out, dropped down to the bottom with his heavy armor and artillery, and he'd walk on the bottom, push himself up, get a breath, sink back down, walk again. Back up, down, walk again. There was a little article about him somewhere, and at that time he finally got up to the beach. I'm not going to get this right. He pulls an apple out of his back pocket, standing on the beach, and he says, takes a bite out of the apple and says, you know, where else can you get paid $1 a day and, you know, enjoy the sunshine and have, you know, be in eating an apple or whatever, something like that. But he was quoted in this other article about that. You know, that was his take. And then all of a sudden, you know, bing, 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 you know, and then he hits the dirt again. But he dedicated his sight for our freedom. The rest of his life, never saw his wife, never saw his kids. He dedicated his sight for our freedom. Everyone in here, everybody around in the United States, for our freedom. That's a pretty amazing thing. Another one, quick one, is the book Unbroken. And I already forgot his name. Louis Zamperini. If you haven't read the book Unbroken, it's a great book. I should have wrote it down. I always think of it as Zamboni, but I'll just call him Louis Zamboni. Louis Zamperini or whatever. He was an Olympian, a runner. Actually, it was always because the cops were always chasing him, so he got pretty good at running. And then they said, hey, well, you should just race. You should be in the race. So he got into the Olympics, and he actually broke some record in some running. I forget all what it was. It's a real thick book, so I read it a long time ago, too. But Louis Zamboni, he ended up going into the service. He got into the service. And he was in a fighter pilot, but he was over in Japan, Hawaii area during the Pearl Harbor incident. And he ended up being on a life raft for 14 days. Or was it more like 40 days? I think it was 40 days. Okay, 40 days. He was on a life raft with his buddies dying, the few that were left. And then, you know, he got rescued by the Japanese. He got rescued by the Japanese. He got taken prisoner of war. And it's almost sad when you read that book. You almost get angry with Japanese people. I mean, really, it stirs up an emotion in you. It's like, wow, they beat him. They mistreated him. Constant torture. Just a long, long, prolonged torture and abuse. So, this guy took all that. And he did it for our freedom. He did that for our freedom. They're actually making that one into a movie. There's a trailer out for it. That means the movie might be coming out sometime this year. But he also ended up getting saved, that guy. And it's a very good testimony in the book. Not a perfect testimony, but a very good testimony. And he got saved, and it was I think he was still alive when they were filming the movie, so might be an interesting one when it comes up. And then the next guy that I wanted to just mention is a movie, and I'm not even sure if there's any fact to it at all, but it's Taking Chance. The name of the movie is Taking Chance. And that's the one where a soldier dies, I believe it's in Afghanistan. He dies, and a soldier is with him. Is that true still, Ron? Do you know about that? Never heard of it? Did you ever see the movie? Yeah, well, maybe, like I say, it's a movie, so it might be all bogus. But it sure does stir up your emotions again. They say that somebody's going to be with that body from the time it leaves Afghanistan until it gets to the hometown. Dropping it off at the mortuary. And one guy volunteers to do it because he thinks it's going, he thinks it's somebody going to some other town, a higher up guy, a lieutenant or something, hey, I'll go with it because, I know that hometown. Well, it ends up getting switched around, and then it's a total stranger, so he's with somebody that he doesn't even know. But boy, oh boy, it's just a very touching movie. It was a tearjerker even for me. But it was because 2 days later, after I saw that movie, I read about somebody in Afghanistan getting killed. Five guys got killed in some crash or something, and boy, it happens to people. And these people are over there fighting for us, fighting for our freedom. Maybe misconstrued or whatever, but they're fighting for our freedom. And we ought to be thinking of them on a day like this, 4th of July. But today I also want to encourage all of us here to remember one more person, one more that gave their life for us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing saying that that has nothing to do with, 4th of July has nothing to do with religion. Oh yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. As we remember those that have gone on before us, we remember that He has gone on before us too. Jesus Christ has gone on before us to prepare a place for us. And there's four very important things that the Bible tells us about Christ we can remember this tomorrow and this day. So we need to remember these things about Christ. And the first thing is, remember Christ's provision. Even that song we sang, His provision, the grain. Matthew 16, verses 8 and 10, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked these guys, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up?" I got to mention that. We were visiting a church, a congregational church or something in Minnesota, and the guy preaching up there was like, "Well, we're not sure if it was 4,000 or 5,000, because one thing says 4,000, one thing says 5,000. One story does talk about 5,000 people, another story talks about 4,000 people. But this verse obviously puts it in and shows you there was two separate events. not a big, hard, difficult thing to understand, but this person was trying to, justify his version of the Bible or something. We're not sure how many were really there, but anyway. But here we see a picture of the disciples of Christ, and they just don't get it. They're not getting it. In this passage, Jesus is warning them to be careful of the Pharisees and the Sadducees because their teaching was contrary to the Word of God. But the illustration Jesus used made them realize that they didn't bring any bread, and they didn't have anything there, and then all of the disciples get to worry. You know, they start to worry. We're worried about how much chicken to get tomorrow, right? Hey, you do. You worry about it. Then Jesus reminded them of how he provided for them. He said, "Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered?" If Jesus can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread, you know, don't you think he'll provide for you or me? He'll provide for us. Jesus Christ can provide all you need. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will have everything that you need right there. Once you have that salvation, that's it. That's all you really need. Everything else is just a bonus beyond that. And I don't mean that in a physical sense, but after you've accepted Jesus into your heart and believe on him, you're assured of going to heaven. What a blessing that is. What more do you need? Absolutely nothing. But Jesus goes far beyond that. Here, Jesus is reminding them that he will supply their needs, and he can do that. You know, these soldiers can't really do all that. You know, they're there, they're fighting, they gave a lot, but they can't do this. They can't provide all of our needs. And so how much more we should be appreciating Jesus Christ as well. I think that many of us need to be reminded of the provisions of God from time to time. No matter what the need is, he's able to handle it. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 4:19. And that wasn't just a promise to the church at Philippi there. Philippi. It's not to the church of Philippi, but it's to us. It's a promise to us today. That verse in there is a promise to us today. So not only can we remember Christ's provision, but we also remember Christ's love. Ephesians 2:4-7. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And in Romans 5:8 it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, this doesn't say, well, after I got right with Jesus, after I got my life all straightened out, he loved us. No, you know, this is while we were yet sinners. That is the great length of God's love for us. He knew that we were sinners, and he still died for us. Christ did this when we didn't deserve it. He knew we didn't deserve it. But he still did it for us. Because of his great love for us, he has made us alive even though we were dead. Because of his great love for us, he has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Because of his great love for us, he will show the riches of his grace expressed to us in his kindness. And because of his great love for us, we know what love really is and what it's all about. So we get Christ's love, but we also have to remember Christ's sacrifice. You know, I explained those four different guys. They all sacrificed. They sacrificed, you know, one of them with his sight, one of them with being a POW. It's probably why my Uncle Bob died a little bit earlier, because of his treatment back then. You know, the one guy in the movie, you know, got killed, and a guy in the book, you know, abused. Those are sacrifices. But 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You know, that's meaning we need to take time, maybe each and every day, to remember him. Not just when we're having communion, so let's remember Jesus Christ. Oh, well, it's Memorial Day. Let's remember Jesus Christ, too. Let's tack him in on there. Oh, it's the 4th of July. Let's tack him in on there. No. We need to put him first. We need to remember him first. We need to remember the things that he's done for us, the love that he gives us, the sacrifice that he did for us. So we just finished discussing the fact that Jesus will meet our needs in this world as far as our material needs, but because of his sacrifice, he does so much more. And he meets the needs of our physical bodies. He does. You know, and every time I think of a kid, you know, break an arm or something, and how quickly, you know, something can heal. You know, how does that happen? You know, that's not, you know, doctors. You know, it's nothing. You know, it's the Lord. It's the Lord healing a person. You know, God can do that. It's just amazing. Jesus Christ said he will take care of us. He sacrificed himself for our salvation. But he also meets our emotional needs. He meets our emotional needs as well. Psalm 147 verse 3 says that he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Somebody's got a broken heart. You know, you might have a broken heart. You might be here tonight with a broken heart. But he healeth the broken heart. And bindeth up their wounds. Not only is God concerned about our physical bodies, but he's concerned about our emotions too. And he heals the emotionally scarred. Jesus commands us to remember him. Every time we share the communion together, you know, we're remembering his sacrifice, his broken body, and his spilled blood. Christ's sacrifice was way beyond what we can even imagine. You know, I talked about Louis, the book guy, the Japan one. He was abused and abused and abused so much. I mean, really, you probably couldn't recognize him. But Christ was the same way. He's up, you know, being whipped and, you know, the thorns. We all know what it was. We realize it. You probably couldn't have recognized him. We understand that. We know it, and yet we don't really get a grasp on it, I think. I don't think we really always understand that, what he really went through. He went through a lot of sacrifice for us. And that was for our eternal freedom. You know, we may have freedom in this country. What, you know, we think we have a lot, but maybe we just have a little. But we have freedom in this country, and we're thankful for it. I do appreciate it. But through Christ, if I die today, I'm free. Amen. I don't have to worry about it. Eternal freedom, to be with him in heaven upon our death. That is something to remember. On this 4th of July, the sacrifice that the man, Christ Jesus, made for us needs to be remembered. So we got Christ's provision. We have Christ's love. We have Christ's sacrifice. But we also need to remember Christ's return. Revelation 3:3, it says, Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. In this passage, the church in Sardis is being addressed. And they're being told that even though they've done their deeds, their different things, and they have a reputation for being alive, yet he's saying they're dead. You're dead. You're a dead church. Then they're told to wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. There's a little bit left there, but you're about to die the rest of the way. So wake up, guys. So this is a church that at one time was on fire for God and made his priority its priority, made God's priority their priority. But they've kind of lost that. And it's starting to die. So Jesus is saying to them, wake up, everybody. We do not know when Jesus Christ is coming back. We have to be watching and waiting. Luke 12:35-46. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So I guess the best way to explain this is, if I knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was positively going to be returning 1 week from tomorrow, what would you be doing? What would you be doing? Who would you be telling about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you knew, okay, I know he's coming back. Well, we know he's coming back. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, the Bible talks about shouting from the housetop, you know, and we ought to be shouting from our housetops, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming back, and tell people what they need to do to get saved and how they can go about getting to heaven. Well, we do not know for sure what day he's coming back, but we ought to be acting like it's today. We ought to be acting like it could be tomorrow. And we ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ, just like he is coming back today, so that these people don't die and go to hell. If you love someone, wouldn't you want them to get saved? You know, you ought to, again, I know I'm bad at it. I'm a terrible witness. I don't think it's too shy. You know, I can go up to talk to a stranger about something else, but that's bad. It's terrible on my part, and I need to improve that. But we need to be able to just go up to somebody and ask them about if they know Christ. We need to just be able to talk about that openly to people, and we all need to practice that a little better. Tell them about what the Bible says with the jailer, Acts 16:30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, that's a simple one, you know. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You know, we could, you know, just memorize two verses and at least you have something to tell somebody. So we have to remember that the one who provides all our needs, the one who loves us dearly, the one who suffered and died for us, he's also coming back. I'm going to read the last few verses in the book of Revelation here, Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, this is a perfect day for us to just to put it in our mind. Put Jesus first tomorrow. When you're celebrating with your family, put Jesus first tomorrow. When you're just going to eat that food, tell Jesus thank you for that provision that he gave you. He's the one that keeps on giving. These other soldiers, very important for us to think of them too. But they didn't do all of this for us. And Jesus Christ did. And here in that revelation, Jesus is reminding them that he will supply their needs. So we need to just put it all back in perspective and remember that Jesus Christ is the one that we should be putting first. That song that I had mentioned, I'm trying to find it again. The rest of that song goes, Blood bought my freedom, I said it earlier. Land of the free, sweet home of liberty, it came at such a great cost. Our soldiers, brave and true, gave their lives for me and you. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. Blood bought my freedom, someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price for supreme sacrifice. Someone died that we might be free. That's about the soldiers. But it's really all about the Lord Jesus Christ too. And then the second verse of that is, Over the sea, on an old rugged tree, a battle was fought for you and me. It won't be fought again. We have victory over sin. Thank God for Calvary. Blood bought my freedom. Someone had to die. In every war, somebody has to die. For us to be saved, for us to have salvation, so simple and free, freedom day, freedom, freedom day, all right? That's what God has given us through Jesus Christ. He has given us this freedom. Blood was the price. Christ's blood was the price. The soldier's blood was the price. Someone died that we might be free. And then the song goes on to say, Jesus died that we might be free. Amen? Let's pray a minute. Oh, you know what? Let's take prayer requests. We'll close with that. So I pray that you all have a safe and healthy and good time tomorrow. But keep Jesus first. Any prayer requests, Jess?